Thanks for being a listener to our I Wish I Hadn't podcast.
You may have noticed that music is something we've mentioned frequently over various episodes. So we've decided to discuss this topic at length. As Led Zeppelin advised, now ramble on. So let's have a chat about music.
Let's talk about music.
I mean, I think music is something that has bound us together and apart sometimes for a long, long time. And
yes.
Suggestions, things that we've picked up on afterwards, and
many
then,
more similarities than dissimilarities.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's the old. You know, they used to say in the past, they'll so and so turn me on to such and such a
yes.
person. Mm. I mean, and I always remember. I think I'm pretty sure it was you that certainly turned me on to Todd Rundgren in the first place.
Yes.
I don't think I knew I saw the light, but I didn't know anything else about him until you said, "Have you heard of Wizard of True Star?"
Yes. Equally, you introduced me to Hall & Oates.
Absolutely.
And
yeah,
Mr.
Yeah.
Fox, the estimable Mr. Fox,
yes.
introduced the Eagles.
The Eagles, yes. Did the Eagles, like? Yes, he did, didn't he? Yeah.
I
yeah,
think I discovered
yeah.
Jackson Brown. Did you discover him independently?
No, you discovered Jackson Brown. And
Bonnie Raitt, who we were discussing.
And Bonnie Raitt. Although Bonnie Raitt, I didn't really know anything about Bonnie Raitt. In fact, I think I first knew a little bit about Bonnie Raitt when I went to America. And there was a huge collection of LPs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you'd mentioned the name, and I'd never heard anything of his. And I came across, it amongst all these different albums, lots of stuff, American groups and bands I didn't know much about. A lot of stuff I did know about. And then suddenly there was this Bonnie Raitt's, probably her first album, because it was her and an acoustic guitar.
Yep.
And that's how I discovered things like Love
and
Has
And I was
no
always
Pride
very envious, because you actually saw her in a freaking... Free gig when you went to Denver.
I did. First, yeah. When I first arrived in Denver, she
were
did.
You writing
she did
me a letter.
She did a free gig in the middle of a park in Denver, summer's evening.
Mm.
Her and her band playing, and she was fantastic.
But we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Aren't
we
are.
Really?
Yes, yeah,
I mean, what's yeah. the sort of earliest music you remember?
I suppose the earliest music I remember in our house would have been on the old Dansette record player. If we're talking about albums and singles in
mm-hmm.
the house,
mm-hmm.
and it would have been
your parents' music,
parents' music, and it would have been things like the soundtrack to South Pacific, soundtrack to Sound of Music,
mm-hmm.
that Mum and Dad had bought, and we played quite a lot, and also I remember my dad bringing in an album of Irish rebel songs.
That seems unlikely.
That someone
for a Dorset man.
Exactly. I think he was quite interested in what was going on. Irish rebel songs, and then he had, because he liked that Irish style, he had a record of the Clancy Brothers and Tommy Makem at Carnegie Hall.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which was Irish type music, I suppose. And I remember I was quite interested. Didn't make me think I've got to get all their stuff. But,
well, we had my dad had old 78s. Do you remember them? I mean, you know, massive, great, heavy things. And you could play them. We had a radiogram, which was a thing
yes.
about the size
yeah,
of
yeah.
a sort of chest of drawers.
Yes, piece of furniture rather than
it was a piece of furniture. yeah. yeah. And you had different playing speeds. You had 45, 33, and 78.
Yes.
Didn't you?
Did you have 16 on yours?
I think so. Actually.
Oh, we had 16.
I don't
think
we had any 16s to play.
Apparently, 16 was a speed for records of speech.
Oh,
it was
really?
Like things like Shakespeare plays and
okay.
stuff like that. So it went round very slowly, so you could get a lot more on one side.
Okay, because yeah. my dad did have some. He had some Dylan Thomas poetry spooks,
yeah.
but they weren't 16s. The 78s had things like Lonnie Donegan.
Yes, yeah,
he had some
yeah.
Paul Robeson.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Old Man
yeah,
River and
yeah,
things like that,
yeah.
you know. So that would have been the first sort of stuff that I remember. And then, of course, being the youngest in the family, I was lucky because my brother would buy lots of music, you know. So, you know, he would introduce things into, you know, initially the Shadows.
Yes,
and
yes,
Cliff Richard,
yes.
You know, Bachelor Boy, I remember.
Bachelor Boy, yes.
And I would have, I don't know how, what era that was, quite, I was quite young.
It would have been early 60s,
but I would listen,
it?
I would listen.
61-ish, 62, that sort of thing,
yeah.
I would imagine, when the Young Ones came out.
That's
and
right.
Summer Holiday.
Yeah. And then Johnny Kidd and the Pirates.
Oh, that's good.
Things like that.
That's good. That's good rock and roll kudos.
Yeah,
that
yeah, my brother heard all of these. And then my sister used to get the very first Beatles albums. In fact, was it the one with Anna on it? You know, the old Motown
yes,
song?
Yes, Anna, Chains and...
Chains,
like,
yeah. And I remember finding it before Christmas and playing it.
Mm.
And I was singing the song Anna, and my sister knew that I had listened to her record.
Yeah.
When I wasn't supposed
War
to.
War in Trouble, yeah.
But, yeah, those would have been the first sort of things that I remember.
Yeah, I remember a friend of ours went to work in Canada. And when he came back, he brought back as a gift to us an album, and it said on the top of it, it said England's newest hit makers,
mm-hmm.
and it was the Rolling Stones, and it was
really?
The Rolling Stones' first album, which actually is a really, really good
mm-hmm.
album. If you ever listen to that, the recording of it is excellent. It's a lot. It's proper old. It's blues tunes, it's R&B, proper
okay.
R&B, not this modern.
I think we must have had it probably.
Yeah, and it was really good. And of course then, like you, Beatles albums started to come into
yes.
the house.
Yes.
The first ones, Help and Hard Day's Night, which I think played to death in the end. I can remember standing in our front room, the room that you rarely went into.
Yeah.
With the record player on, with it would have been Help, I think, or A Hard Day's Night, one of the two, and picking up, there was an aerial lead with a coaxial cable with a plug on the end.
Mm-hmm.
No television there, because you had to move the television from one room to another if you wanted to use it in there. But I would stand there with this, pretending it was a microphone and singing along to the Beatles hits at the time. Yeah.
Was the record yours, or was that your
the
parents?
Record was it, the record was a, it was like a family record. I think probably it was my parents, but I think
okay.
I think my sister and I commandeered it, really, because we just thought these records were great, you know.
We used to, my brother, sister and I used to buy the Beatles albums between us, because they were 19, just
19,
under a pound, weren't they?
1911.
And from an uncle, we used to get 6 and 8 pence each for Christmas.
Yeah.
And so we would buy the Beatles album of that year.
Yes, yeah. Of course, 6 and 8 pence was the price of a single. So you'd have put those and you bought your album, you got more tracks for that.
That's right.
No, I mean, absolutely the same. I mean, they were so expensive that my sister and I used to have one between us for Christmas quite often.
Yeah.
The Beatles ones.
Yeah.
So gradually that things like that built up, not an awful lot of records, I've got to be honest, it tended to be more singles that came into the house. I think probably my mum bought them more than my dad. My dad was, he was a drummer. In his youth,
I didn't know
and
that.
He was a very good drummer. He played in lots of dance bands around the West Dorset area when he was young, and he was more into more into big band stuff than anything else. And he didn't put down the modern music. He just it wasn't really completely for him.
No. So my dad really liked the Beatles and the Rolling Stones, which is quite surprising.
That's
you know?
Good, isn't it? Yeah.
But he didn't buy them, but he enjoyed listening to us play.
Mm.
I remember my brother bringing home a single, and I think it was the first Herman's Hermits record.
Mm-hmm.
What would that have been?
It could have been No Milk Today.
Something like
it
anyway.
Could have been
I can't remember quite what it was,
good.
And he said to me, I bet you that this record will be number one next week.
Mm.
As I said, okay, I bet you, and he said, how much do you bet me? And I said, that's sixpence, which was my pocket money. And of course, he was right.
He saw you coming.
And I was absolutely gutted to hand over my pocket. My dad said he didn't think it was fair, but on the other hand, I'd agreed to do it. So,
I mean, singles, I think the point was that singles were affordable. Just about, weren't they, in those days? And I think singles, actually, obviously in the early 60s, singles were more important than LPs at the time.
Yes,
because that was what people, I mean, million sellers were singles.
Oh, yeah.
The first, I mean, I the question, of course, is what's the first single you ever bought yourself? I mean, yes. Lots of singles come in.
I know.
I mean, I know what my first single was, I have to say.
I bought two at the same time.
Oh, money bags.
It was after Christmas.
Yes.
I bought these Boots of Over Walking.
Nancy Sinatra.
And 1, 2, 3 by Len Barry.
Len Barry, yes. Yeah. 1, 2, 3.
1, 2, 3. That's how easy it's going to be.
I saw a program about him recently, or an article, a thing about him, and he's been doing that song since it was a hit all the way through. I think
yes.
I don't know if he's passed away yet, but he certainly was doing something like living in Spain.
It would have been very early
in the
60s,
sun, going round different clubs and bars. Yeah, singing.
I'd have been 8 or 9. Yeah.
My,
so what was your first single?
My first single I ever bought. It was called Diamonds by Jet Harris and Tony Meehan.
That's quite a good one, actually.
Late
probably
the
better
shadows,
than these Boots and Over Walking. Yeah.
Yeah, but at least you didn't say my first one was Two Little Boys.
No. Yeah. So first album.
the first album I bought with my own money. Quite proud of this one, I have to say.
Okay.
It was when I was working at the Wimpy Bar in Dorchester.
Mm-hmm.
And I went over in Tudor Arcade, opposite was a record shop,
run by
a chap who lived in Maiden Newton, who we knew.
Uh-huh.
And the first album I bought, you know, drum roll here, because this is one to be proud of, In the Court of the Crimson King.
Wow, I'm
An Observation
really
by King Crimson.
That is very
and
good.
And I took it home and I hid it, because I thought my dad might not approve, because it was a little bit far out and a bit different.
Okay.
And so the first few plays of it I did were on... you know, like when Dad wasn't there, just so he couldn't say, what on earth is this rubbish?
How did you know that you wanted that?
I think we'd heard 21st Century Schizoid Man probably somewhere in school. I don't think it was a sixth form flat. I don't think I was that... It wasn't so much
it
when I was...
It got played a lot when
it
we
got,
were in the
it
sixth
got played.
Form flat, didn't
I
it?
Mean, having said that, to be able to afford your own, I think probably 32 and sixpence by that time, an album...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I knew that my dad would probably turn around and say, what a waste of money, all that money that you've earned spend on a record. But I was determined to get this, and I did, and I still have the album now, and you know, when my stuff was set up I used to play it. So it's that was my first album that I bought myself on my own. How about you?
It was Simon and Garfunkel. The one Bridge Over Troubled Water.
Yeah, a classic.
Yeah.
Biggest seller of 1970, I think, wasn't it, really?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Huge
so
classic.
So it's a bit
album,
kind of, you know, predictable in a way, I suppose. Yeah. But, and it, you know, I liked it too. As you
of course,
liked,
yeah. I still think it's a classic. Bridge Over Troubled Water, great album. I mean,
it'd be terrible disappointment if you bought something and hated it, wouldn't you?
Oh,
for your first album,
because
they were so expensive.
Yes, yeah. Well, that was always the thing about it, you know, you were really wary of buying an album if on the basis of one track or two tracks, just in case the rest of it was absolute dross.
Yes. You know, but then, of course, you see, you and I had started to read the music press.
Yes.
And that complicated things, didn't it?
Yes.
Because you'd read about people and you'd read these great things. And I can remember buying albums on the strength of... you know, reviews, and finding them absolute pants.
Absolutely.
You know? So that was a big disappointment.
I mean, I was actually thinking about this a while ago, and thinking about, you know, the classic stuff that we had. And I couldn't possibly name him, but a son-in-law who finally admitted some time ago that he and his mate were... part of a gang, and they used to go every Christmas to a gang show in Birmingham, where they would shout "Leader, leader, leader" towards their hero, a certain Mr. Gary Glitter.
Oh,
and they were part of Gary Glitter's gang.
Oh,
and
my
He said, "Yes, we dropped off there and shout at this."
Well, I actually saw Gary Glitter live. I didn't pay. It was when I was a journalist, and we were actually driven out in a coach to see him play in Watford, I think, with sort of paid for meal and.
Oh wow!
I seem to remember they were actually quite good. I mean, I know I shouldn't say that, but.
I mean, you have to remember he had a good band behind him.
Yeah,
didn't
two
he?
Drummers.
Yeah, two drummers, a brass section.
Yeah,
good people who you know, were very good at what they did, basically.
I think I have a memory of dancing on the table, actually. There you go. Yeah. So first gig.
Oh,
I've got a cracker for this.
First gig.
I bet mine tops yours.
Well, I mean, if you discount the sort of school dances that we went to.
Oh, yeah,
we're
not counting the paid for gig.
First paid for gig was, of course, a school trip to the Bournemouth Winter Gardens to see Deep Purple.
Okay, well, that's pretty good.
That was the first one I went to.
Right.
Very loud, ringing of the ears for days afterwards.
Mine was, I think it was a Charisma package.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember these packages?
I remember the packages, yeah.
First on Lindisfarne.
Yep.
Second, Van de Graaff Generator.
Yes.
Top of the Bill Genesis.
Genesis, yeah.
In their first tour.
Yes, yeah. It was the knife. I mean, I think my sister went to
cost less
one
than
of those.
A pound.
Yes.
I think.
I remember my sister saying that she went, and one of them, it might have been Van de Graaff Generator that weren't on, and in their place was Rab Noakes.
Okay.
Folk singer.
Rather unlikely.
He was on the label, wasn't he?
Yeah, I suppose he was. Yeah.
Yes, that quite a famous package tour, that wasn't it, really? Yeah.
It was, yeah. Because I think that was a good idea. They used to do that. They'd send them all out together. And those package labels, albums you get.
The samplers, yeah.
Like the famous Bumpers, which is still one of the best
Bumpers,
albums
great.
I've ever had.
Yeah.
Well,
I think it introduced you to so many different bands that you would never have listened to before.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I've got somewhere in the garage, I have got... Nice Enough to Eat.
Yeah, that's right.
And I've got You Can All Join In.
Yeah.
The Island label ones. Samples.
And Bumpers was the double album follow up to those two.
Exactly.
Ones.
And
yeah.
And there are tracks on there that are just brilliant. And it made you think, oh, I need to listen to that album.
Yeah.
And I bought some albums on the strength of it. I think
it's a very good commercial enterprise, wasn't
21st
it?
Century Schizoid Man was on one of those two, and I can't remember which one now. And that was led me to buy In the Court of the Crimson King.
Yeah, because on Bumpers it was Crimson and Cascade. Crimson and Cascade.
Cadence and Cascade.
Yeah,
in the Wake of
Poseidon. From the second
album.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
I mean, I did. I had a really good one from, I think it was a Charisma one, called, I can't remember what it's called now. But that had bands like Audience on it and... And others, which again was a really cracking selection of music.
Yeah.
And there was the one I bought was a Warner Brothers one as well, which was a 59p. I seem to remember it cost 59p, and it had people like Little Feet on it, had Allman Brothers Band, it had Ronnie Montrose.
There was one called LP. Do you remember
LP?
ELPEA.
Yeah.
I don't know who that was.
That would have been, I think that was another Island one.
Was it?
Possibly,
okay.
Yeah.
There was a Charisma one or Parlour or somebody, you know. I think they were an excellent idea.
I mean, whoever had the idea obviously made the different record companies a lot of money.
Because a lot of us
at that age said, oh, I'll go out and buy this album, I'll go out and buy that album, which you wouldn't have done otherwise.
Yeah. I mean, listening to music in those days, the sort of music that we then came to like, when we were teenagers, was what, you know, is loosely kind of termed underground music at the time. And when singles were losing their dominance and album, there would be singles bands and album bands. And the album bands would never go on Top of the Pops.
No.
And they were like Led Zeppelin and, you know, because they wouldn't release singles.
Mm.
And so there was that sort of, you know, slightly snooty thing that you didn't really like bands who released singles.
Yeah.
Having said that, I mean, there were some great singles in the early 70s in the days of The Faces and you know, The Kinks and you know, and some wonderful Motown stuff too.
I think that was the thing. I mean, I tended to be veering towards the underground, the progressive, all that sort of stuff, but still, if any Motown came on, you'd think, this is really great, this great song, you know, great song to dance to, all that sort of thing. And even though I don't think I ever bought any Motown, but I was always quite happy to hear it played at disco dances, parties, that sort of thing.
Was there any sort of genre of music that you didn't like in those days?
I've tried to get into jazz,
right,
as in like the sort of freeform jazz stuff.
Yeah.
You see, I mean, I do like a lot of the Canterbury scene stuff. but I didn't like Soft
Caravan
Machine.
And
I like Caravan.
Yeah,
one of my favourite records still in the land of grey and pink.
Yes.
So still play it quite
and
regularly.
Wonderfully titled for girls who grow plump in the night. Yes.
And if I could do it again, I'd do it all over you.
That's right, yeah.
I mean, wonderful titles.
Yeah.
And I liked Camel and people like that. Mm-hmm. But I tried Soft Machine.
No,
I couldn't get my head around it at all.
They are a little bit too far
away
from me.
And it was all a bit sort of bleeps and bops and you know, let's play a note where it's all a bit weird.
Yes.
Whereas, if you think about it, we loved Yes when we were growing up.
They tried
as much as possible to do weird time signatures and strange combinations. But there was a melody.
Now, how would we have got into Yes? Because they were big favourites. I mean,
I don't know.
The Yes album, I probably have played in those days more than any other album.
I would certainly agree with that. And I think the Yes album came into my range of vision and hearing before the earlier ones, before Time and a Word and Yes
itself.
Oh, definitely,
with me too.
And
the Yes album was the one that we heard.
Yes, and once I'd heard the Yes album, I then went out. I didn't buy Time and a Word, but I bought Yes.
Yes.
And I loved that. It's a great album.
That was a great
album.
Yeah, Harold Land.
Absolutely, yeah. And their version of the Beatles song on it.
Yes, that's right.
Every Little Thing. Tremendous.
Mm. Yeah.
Having said that, I think that's on a sampler. And I think that's where I probably heard...
I've got the feeling you're right.
Every Little Thing on a sampler. And then thought, yes, I must buy this one now.
You're absolutely... And they were Warner Brothers, weren't they?
They... I'm not sure.
No, yeah. That's possibly where it was then, yeah.
But no, I don't know how they came into our original...
No.
It might have been for that sampler, but that wouldn't have made us buy the Yes album, would it, really?
No. Yeah, that was my sort of favourite album. And then you bought subsequent ones, Emerson, Lake and Palmer.
Well, yeah, I mean, Emerson...
But then we heard that at school, didn't we?
We heard it at school. I remember there was a school trip that went to see them when they released their first album, and I didn't go on that. I never heard of them, didn't know much about them, didn't go. And a lot of friends came back and said what a great concert it was, how much they enjoyed it, and I went the next time they came, Bournemouth Winter Gardens again. And I've saw them quite a few times and I think I probably liked them more than you did.
I loved the one that we all knew at school. Whose title I can't unfortunately remember at the moment.
The first one or
I think it was the first one.
Yeah, Take a Pebble and
Yes,
like
that's
that.
Right, yeah. And there was the one at the end with the Moog synthesizer. Oh, Moog.
Lucky Man, yes.
And in the flat we'd all be talking, and when that came on we would all go silent. So that we could hear the Moog synthesizer, and it was switched on at the end. And
yeah,
you remember,
down,
you heard
down,
it,
down,
it, it yeah, warmed up, yeah, and then you came, at the end.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
But you see, we used to see a lot of gigs,
yes,
didn't we?
I think you saw far more than me because you were, of course, in London.
Well, no, but I mean, that's true. Yeah. But before we were in London, because we used to go to Bristol Colston Hall, didn't we?
Don't forget the infamous Yes concert we went to see, where they didn't come on till really late, and we had to go before they'd even. But they played about three numbers, and we had to
go. But then we regularly went to the Winter Gardens, didn't
Winter Gardens, Bournemouth.
You know, I can think of seeing Free there. I didn't see Free. Jethro Tull.
Saw them. Yeah.
And I mean, you know, we more than I think, because we were, of course, in a kind of a wasteland for music where we were, weren't we?
Yes.
You had to drive some distance.
Yeah.
To see bands, and nobody played locally to us, really.
No, not at that time at all, did they? No.
No.
When I went to college, of course, I saw, in the space of about 10 days, I saw David Bowie and Mott the Hoople and Queen, you know, all at the Worcester Gaumont, as it was. And obviously at college, we had some nice bands at college as well. We had Barclay James Harvest, who didn't want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
We had Steel Eye Span. We had Hot Chocolate, it was a small college, but it got some good bands there.
Well, at college, I mean, I used, because we were in London. I mean, we had all the London pub bands, you know.
Of course,
had people like Ace and
yes,
Brinsley Schwartz and All the ones who were playing in the pubs in London would come and play in the college bar, which was nice. But you know, in those days, the thing was, of course, it was easy to get tickets, wasn't it?
Yes.
Unlike today, you know, with the Oasis Farrago in recent times. And the cost of tickets. But then they were easy to get, I thought, mainly because in those days, when you went to a concert, the people would be there from aged 16 to about 30.
Yes, yeah.
Now you go to a concert, people are from 60 to 80.
Yes,
they?
Yeah.
Because they're old greys like us who want to go and see, you know, things that we remember.
But if you think about it, in those days, it wasn't this, there was no online applications for tickets, obviously. Mm. You went to the venue's box office.
Yes.
And you bought a ticket,
yes,
basically. Yeah. And I used to go to, I went to the Birmingham Town Hall box office, the Odeon box office. The Odeon was a great venue for bands. Mm-hmm. And you just turn up. Or when they actually went into record shops, Virgin Records in Corporation Street in Birmingham, mm-hmm, that they always had all the tickets there. And you could go, I'll have one of those.
That's the end of side one. Please turn over your LP, load your next CD, or just tune in to the following podcast.